We sing in a song, praise is the power of heaven. Praise opens the door to the King of Kings. And the spirit of praise, the powers of darkness flee in an atmosphere of praise. So praise has so much of power which we have not understood it sufficiently. And the Bible repeatedly tells, both in the Old and the New Covenant, that we are commanded to praise the Lord. The last verse in the last Psalm, 150 verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That means there is no excuse for any person breathing to not to stop praising the Lord. Is there anyone who is not breathing today? Nobody? Then we all have an obligation to praise the Lord. And even in the New Covenant, we are commanded to praise the Lord. Sometimes we wonder why we should praise the Lord in the first place. Is God such a praise-hungry God who, you know, like in the world, there are big shots like the kings and the dictators who want their subjects to praise them, to call them by some magnificent titles like Your Majesty, Your Highness, Your Royal Highness, and Maharaja, and things like that. And many more such superlatives. But, you know, God is not interested in our praise in order that He will get something out of it. If we praise Him, He will not be happier. If we don't praise Him, He will not be sadder. If we praise Him, He will not become greater. If we don't do that, He will not become any smaller than what He is. He is all-sufficient and He lacks nothing. Why He commands us to praise and give thanks to Him is so that it will do good to us, not to Him. Because when we praise God, our mind is, our focus and our attention is shifted from ourselves onto the one who is in control of everything. The Lord God, He is a creator, He is God, He is almighty, and there is nothing that is hidden from Him. You don't have to tell Him what's your problem. He knows it before you tell Him. Like Jesus said in Matthew 6, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So, when we praise God, we are shifting our attention from our problems, our fears and anxieties and worries and cares, our pains and our aches and our shortcomings, our needs, our sicknesses and our weaknesses. We are shifting our focus from that on to the one who has all solution. And when our focus is shifted from ourselves onto God, then things begin to change in our lives. That's the reason why God wants us to praise Him. Not because He has any dearth or shortage of praise in heaven. He has millions and millions of angels to praise Him day and night. There is no day and night in heaven, by the way. And You know, there are numerous benefits when we praise the Lord. It's a command that we need to obey. And along with that come so many blessings to us. For instance, when we praise God, we, like that verse says in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving in your heart and His courts with praise. So when we start praising the Lord, that gives us an access to the throne room of heaven, to the throne of God. It gives an access to us to come to Him. And praise, you know, it delivers us from our depression and discouragement and gloom. That verse says in Isaiah 61, it says, Thou hast girded me with joy and given me garments of praise in place of spirit of heaviness. If you're experiencing a spirit of heaviness today, start praising the Lord. And that will drive away all your cares and worries, and it will make you happy. The Bible also says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Means, from morning till night, till you go to bed, be in a spirit of praise and thanksgiving and worship. That's what we are called to do. And it's not just to the going down of the sun, not till the sun sets. If the sun sets in the east, it's sunrise in the west. If it is sunset in the west, it is sunrise in the east. So the sun never sets. But God has given us time to sleep in the night. That's why He says, in your waking hours, be in a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude. And that will make all the difference to us in our lives. We read in the Old Covenant that people, whenever they received a blessing or an answer to prayer, they praised God. We see that in Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 14, we know that the Egyptian army was completely drowned in the Red Sea. His army and all the chariots, the mighty men of war, everything got drowned in the Red Sea after the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea on dry land. And after that, we read in chapter 15, verse 1 onwards to 21. They sang a song of praise. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and the riders He has hurled into the sea. And the last verse also it says, and Miriam answered them. It means Moses, Miriam, Aaron, and all the Israelites started praising the Lord after having seen what happened before their eyes. The whole Egyptian army got buried under the water and everyone perished. And all the Israelis walked across the other side of the Red Sea. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and his riders He has hurled into the sea. In the Old Covenant, it was always after a prayer was answered, after God did something supernatural, they thanked Him and praised Him and worshipped Him. And that was how it was in the Old Covenant. Even in 1 Samuel, we know that story. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We read about Hannah's song of thanksgiving. You know, this Hannah, she didn't have any children. And for a number of years, she didn't have children because her another wife of her husband, she used to tease and taunt and mock her because she was barren. And she was so much in distress. And one day when she went to the house of the Lord, she prayed there earnestly from her heart and she made a vow. Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you to serve you. And the Lord heard that prayer and answered her prayer and gave her a son. He became a great prophet in Israel called Samuel. And when she offered that boy to the Lord, she sings this song in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, verse 1 to 11, 1 to 10. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies. There is no one holy like the Lord. Verse 3, boast no more so proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouths. And with him actions are weighed. But the feeble gird on strength." Verse 5 in the middle. "Those who were hungry cease to hunger. The barren gives birth to 7. The Lord kills and makes alive," etc., etc. She prays the Lord. And this is how the old covenant people lived. And there was another incident we read about in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We know this story. There were 3 armies that came against Judah, the king of which was Jehoshaphat. These 3 armies are Moab and Ammonites and Munites. These 3 kings came together to attack Judah against Jehoshaphat the king. And when he came to know that this huge army is coming against him, he was unnerved. He got frightened and he went to the Lord. He had nowhere to go but the Lord. He went to the Lord and he cried out. And he was so much in dismay and fear because of the great multitude, for the battle was, for him it was too much. And he calls for prayer. And he prays to the Lord in verse 12, chapter 20, verse 12 of 2 Chronicles. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on thee." And all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Imagine the situation. The whole nation is standing there with the king, along with the infants, nursing babies, small children, and wives also, are standing and they are crying out to the Lord. And in the midst of that crowd, the Spirit of the Lord came to a person called Jehaziel. And this ordinary man, it doesn't say here that he was a prophet or some great man, just an ordinary person who was in the midst of that crowd. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he prophesies. He says, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. You need not fight, verse 17, in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Do not fear or be dismayed. Go tomorrow. Go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. And this ordinary man, when he prophesied like this, the king didn't doubt this man's prophecy. He didn't belittle him. Instead, he believed what this man said. And you know what the king did? Verse 18, it says, then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites from the sons of Kohathites and the sons of Koharites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. How did this loud voice rise in their heart? Because they believed the word of the prophet. There's a verse in the Psalms, it says, it's repeated in the New Testament also. It says, they believed his word and sang his praise. When you believe God's word, faith rises in your heart, and then a song of praise bursts forth from your heart. And this prophet, if we can call him a prophet, he said nothing to the king as to what he should do. He only said, stand and watch the salvation of the Lord. That's all he said. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. But what did this king do? He rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. Where is the prophet? He considered him a prophet. Jehaziel. And he believed his word. He honored him. The king honored God's prophet even though he was a minor or a nobody. A very insignificant prophet. We hardly hear about him later on or even before. And the king tells the congregation, trust them, put your trust in his prophets and succeed. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. As they went out before the army, they said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You know, he put a choir, as it were, singers and musicians right in front of the army. This is one of the ridiculous wars that ever happened in the history of humanity, where instead of the army going with swords and spears, with the battle ammunition and all that, instead they went with a musical instrument and with a choir and all that. And those who saw that, probably they must have laughed, what crazy army is this? And they were not bothered because they knew that the victory was theirs because the Lord had promised. And because of that, they went about praising the Lord. And when they began singing and praising the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, on Mount Seir, that is the Munites, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And then after that, they started destroying each other. And they finished every one of them. Not one of them escaped, it says in verse last part of verse 24. And when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take the spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, valuable things, which they took for themselves more than they could carry. And it took them 3 days to carry the spoil because it was so much. So this is a very unusual thing that happened in the old covenant, where the king believed before the answer came. And he started giving praise and thanks to the Lord. You know, there is a secret behind that. Why it happened like that. The psalmist says, David says in Psalm 22, he says, "Thou who dwellest, or who is enthroned upon the praises of his people," he says. That means, when we praise God, we build a throne for him. And when we build a throne for him, God's presence comes. And when God's presence comes, no power on this earth can be any match against that. And when Jehoshaphat and his army, they praised the Lord with all their heart, with all their strength, with all their might, wholeheartedly. You know, the presence of the Lord came in their midst. And that routed the enemy. We read something similar in chapter 16 of Acts. That story you know, where Paul and Silas were cast in prison. They were beaten up before being put in prison. You can turn there. Acts 16. They were so badly beaten up and put in prison. They were obviously bleeding and were in much pain and agony. And they couldn't sleep because of the pain and the blood that was going from their back, that were flogged and scourged. And they were not praying, mind you. They were not praying to God to help them to, you know, remove the pain and give them some comfort and strength. They were not praying. Instead, it says, verse 25, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were singing hymns of praise to God." They were praying, not that they should be delivered, but they were probably praying that the Lord's name may be hallowed and glorified and honored, that many people would come to know him. And they were singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening, it says. And how did this come about? Paul was a man whose heart was filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of thankfulness and praise and songs and gratitude. He was overflowing with that, as an abundance of what had filled his heart, both of them. Like Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And Paul and Silas, they were just overflowing with joy because they were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. And they were just praising the Lord, singing and thanking God. And when they were doing that, according to that verse, Psalm 22, verse 3, it says the power of the presence of God came there. They made a throne for the Lord, and the Lord descended, as it were. The Lord's presence came in their midst. And you know, when the Lord's presence comes in our lives, what happens? All our bondages, our chains, our fetters, all our problems will be gone. As they were doing that, suddenly there came an earthquake, it says in verse 26. So that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Why not only Paul's and Silas's chains? When you praise God, the blessings not only come to you, but also to those who are around you, in your home, maybe in your office or in your neighborhood. It's not only for you, because God is interested in them also. God is interested in the jailer and his family, and probably some of the other criminals also in jail. And it says all the doors were opened and everybody's chains fell off and they were all set free. But they didn't run away, because they knew that this was something supernatural, something that happened because of God's intervention. And when the jailer knew that, he thought these fellows have all escaped and then he will be executed. So he called for light, and he also took out his sword to kill himself. But knowing that, Paul cries out to him and he says, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." See, this is the power of praise, brothers and sisters. So many times we are so bogged down and our heads are always down like the pigs. Have you ever seen a pig lifting up its head to the sky, looking at the sun and the moon and the stars and the sky and the rain and the flowers around them? Their head is always down. We are not called to live like that. We are called to live with our heads lifted up. The Bible says, "He is the glory and the lifter of our heads." He wants us to walk with our head lifted up. It says in Leviticus, I think in chapter 26, "God has chosen you so that you may walk with dignity, with your head lifted up." You can walk erect, not with your head hanging down in shame and sorrow and problems, being overcome by them. No, that's not God's will for God's children. God wants his children to be happy, to be joyful, to be rejoicing, to walk with their heads lifted up like kings and queens, princes and princesses. Walk like that and talk like that and be one like that, because you are one. Because our Father is in heaven, who rules the whole universe. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he is the creator of everything. And he is the one who is going to wind up everything one day and take us home. And we serve such a God. That's why Paul says, even when Paul was in very, very difficult circumstances and situations, he encouraged people, "Rejoice in the Lord." He writes to the Philippian church, chapter 4, verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord." And he says, again I say, just in case you didn't hear it, "Again I say, rejoice." And the same Paul says again in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18, he says, "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks, whether things are good or bad, whether things are going your way or not, whether things are in your favor or not, in everything, at all times, give thanks to him. Why? Because the Lord knows better than us. And when you give thanks, you bring about an atmosphere in which this depression, discouragement, these problems and sicknesses will not thrive. And the joy of the Lord comes into your being. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength, as Nehemiah says. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When your heart is filled with joy and praise and gratitude, then your life becomes, it blooms, it blossoms, it becomes different. You become a different person. Praise is becoming for the saints. It's comely. It's beautiful. You look more beautiful when you're thankful rather than when you're grouchy. Isn't it? They say, smile. Why do they say smile when you go and sit before a camera? They don't want to project you as a grouchy, grumpy person. They want at least a little bit of happiness to be shown to others. Even your heart is heavy, smile, brother. At least before the camera. And then, when the joy of the Lord comes into your heart, then nobody can stop you. Like there was, I heard of somebody who was always full of joy. He was a cobbler. He was not a cobbler. He was a very poor man. And he always used to shout hallelujah in the meeting whenever he heard the message. And while he was listening to the messages, and one day the bishop of the church was going to come, and the pastor cautioned him and he said, see, the bishop is coming next Sunday, you should keep quiet. If you keep quiet in the meeting, he didn't have shoes. So the pastor promised him a pair of new shoes. And he said, okay. And he was listening to the message on that Sunday and he was so excited, so thrilled. And he said, shoes or no shoes, praise the Lord, he said. So that, you know, the joy of the Lord, you just cannot contain it to yourself. It comes out just like this. Paul and Silas, they shouted even in prison. That's why the word of God says, be thankful always. Give thanks in everything. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And one of the beautiful definitions that I read the other day about praise from C.S. Lewis, it really blessed my heart. He says, praise is inner health made audible. Simple, isn't it? Praise is inner health made audible. If you have good health inside, a joyful spirit that breaks out through your mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is full of joy and thankfulness, it becomes audible. That is praise. That's how we are called to live. And God has called us to live like that, brothers and sisters. Stop your grouchy, grumpy attitude, your accusing attitude. Don't be a brother to the devil who is called an accuser of the brothers. Be someone who encourages others. Be someone who is thankful for what you have, don't worry about what you don't have. No, I heard of somebody who watched from his office some poor man, you know, picking up something to eat from the garbage bin, and he said, thank God I'm not poor. And that poor man saw an ambulance carrying a sick person, and he said, thank God I'm not sick. And then that sick man died, and another person said, thank God I'm not dead, I'm alive. Aren't you happy that you're alive today? Even though you don't have so many comforts in life, at least you have a breath. So many people are struggling for breath. They are on a ventilator, an oxygen mask. to breathe. And none of us have come here with oxygen mask or ventilator. We are all breathing naturally and normally. And most of us have come walking on our feet. Think about those who are on the wheelchair, those who cannot pass their urine or stools, those who cannot make use of the bathroom. Thank God that your bowels and your bladder is working, kidneys are functioning well. Thank God for that. There are so many things if you want to thank God for. Think about them. Like Paul says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is pure, whatever is good report, whatever is virtuous, whatever is praiseworthy, and so on and so forth. Think about these things, he says. Think about these things, not what you don't have. Rather be thankful for what you have. Then God will multiply what you have. Amen.